Sponsor, Dustio.ca, and they will help you get your business off the ground and into the minds of the Ummah.
These are the days of Eid. Make takbir wherever you are. These are the days of Eid. Allahu Akbar.
Yet another sensational surprise from Radio
Al-Ansar.
Yes, night shopping at Eid Milan 2009. Have you experienced nighttime shopping in the glittering Dubai, magnificent Saudi Arabia, or any other Arab country? Well, for the first time, Radio Al Ansar is offering you the opportunity to shop at night at this year's Eid Milan. The 2009 Eid Milan special kicks off on Friday, the 11th of September, after Tarawih from 8:30 p.m. onwards until Sunday, 13th September. Enjoy 2 nights and 3 days of Eid Milan shopping, especially for those working parents.
And all praise to Him. Allah is great.
So bring your friends and family and experience the feel of international late night shopping and entertainment.
Allah is great and all praise.
That's the Radio Al Ansar 3 days Eid Milan from Friday the 11th of September to Sunday the 13th, only at 189 West Road, Overport.
Heaven's only Islamic radio station.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. First of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah ta'ala for making us from the Ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is our third hour. We are discussing still the virtues of giving zakat, the benefits of giving zakat, the advantages of giving zakat, the importance of giving zakat, and today we may even discuss the warnings of not giving zakat. I've chosen this topic for the inspirational talk for this broadcast because most, alhamdulillah, give zakat in this month, but we do not know why we are giving the zakat, what's the benefits, spiritual benefits, what's the worldly benefits, what's the benefits for us in the grave and in the akhirat. Alhamdulillah, many are those who are giving their zakat, but simultaneously many are those who are not giving their zakat, and many are those who are giving their zakat but they are not giving it to the right places, and still there are those who are giving their zakat and unfortunately, because they have been given a wrong ruling somewhere along the line, they are not distributing it, dispensing it properly, meaning that they are not giving it to the recipients of zakat, and they are not making the recipients of zakat the owners of the zakat. So please, those that are giving the zakat, Allah Ta'ala reward you tremendously, but make sure that a alim, and in this age, make sure you get 1-2 rulings, especially when you are giving huge sums of money away in zakat, that your zakat is given out properly. Alhamdulillah, the advantages of zakat, number one, today, everywhere you'll find the people are saying, no, socialism, and we should try to implement an economical system whereby the rich can help the poor, or there is economical balance in the society. Alhamdulillah, if any area, locality just implements without any proper government structures and take out 1/40th of the wealth, then inshallah there'll be no poor sector left in our country or any country that does it. The inhabitants will be living in absolute peace and harmony. Try it, that every locality should have some sort of Muslim infrastructure, Muslim institute, whereby the poor, the needy, the destitute, and the widow especially can be aided financially. There must be no reason why a Muslim beggar must be on the road, or a Muslim must become a beggar on the road, or a Muslim must be seen coming door to door looking for zakat, fitra, lillah. And every masjid area, every masjid complex should be having a welfare department and a social department caring for the needs, financial needs of the public via the zakat funding. As we have stated, zakat is like passing blood into the whole system so that the body of Muslims, the entire body of Muslims, does not fall down. We should thirdly picture the entire society as one unit, and the individuals of the society are the organs of the unit. If any unit body is affected with an injury, then the result will be clotting of blood at that spot, and a pimple will form, pus will accumulate. Similarly, if any organ has been, there is accumulation of blood, then a swell results at that spot. Similarly, a person with excess wealth, he finds this wealth is spent on extravagances and luxury, and they waste it on lawyers and other such things. Sometimes money is going away in sickness, doctors, high buildings. So Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us a solution. Take out these pimples and take out these swellings. With your excess wealth, give zakat. When we give zakat, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the ailments and the sicknesses, and will take away this spirit of spending in the wrong places. Now, fourthly, that the person who bears no feeling and concern for his own kind in their poverty, hunger and strife is not a human being, but an animal. For example, alhamdulillah, Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us the opportunity of fasting. Now when a person fasts, then you'll find people say, no, I do not feel any fast. And then you'll find those who complain too much. But whether you complain or do not complain, you will at some stage realize that I do feel hungry and thirsty. And then you can feel how the poor man feels, how you can feel how the hungry man feels. You can have some union with the person who is suffering. Similarly, that when you are one giving zakat, then you will come to realize the persons who do not have wealth. Allah has given wealth. When you start giving wealth, that is why I am of the opinion that if you are giving out zakat, make sure that at times you go to the poor people. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith has stressed that the wealthy should live in such a manner that they are in contact with the poor people. In fact, if you look at life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even he said in invitations, invite the poor people. These days, there is no interaction. In fact, absolutely no interaction in some cases between the wealthy and the poor. The wealthy are on their own circle, leaving aside the poor. So if you give your zakat and you go yourself to the areas where zakat is distributed, then you will feel poverty and hunger and strife. You will have inspection in loco. You will be able to see the plight of people. And when you see that, then shaitan and nafs cannot divert your attention from the akhirat. Then you will be able to realize that these poor have got rights over the wealthy, and lessons can be learned, and you will be able to be a more practical person. Humility will come, pride will go. Number five, whenever wealth becomes the basis of person's life, there is also a great role in making or breaking the person's life. Sometimes the lack of wealth leads one to unsavory actions. People, because they do not have wealth, they loot, then they start stealing due to lack of funding and money. Sometimes poverty leads to actions where people run towards the fire of Jahannam. Sometimes poverty leads to places one iman in danger. It is said, for this reason, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that poverty takes one to the brink of kufr. Allah Ta'ala has ordained zakat as a remedy and cure for all these things. Because when a person is given wealth, inshallah, he will not steal, he will not loot, he will not hijack. When a person is given wealth from zakat funding, then that person, inshallah, will start stabilizing and will start looking for avenues to earn. When a person is given wealth via zakat, then inshallah, he will not sell his iman. And when a person is not prepared to sell iman after that, he will not fall prey to all these preachers and all these people who come with baked beans on one hand, canned baked beans on one hand, and their religious scriptures on the other hand, trying to convince the public, the poor people, that give up your deen for the sake of money. Contrary to this, sometimes it is love for wealth that leads one to destruction. The tricks and swindling, wheeling and dealing that takes place amongst the wealthy needs no further elucidation. But by giving zakat and charity, the rich are also made aware the plight of the needy, and they are supposed to take a lesson. One is very clear. The Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that you should not indulge in haram, and he said this after mentioning that the wealth and the sustenance that is coming to a person, that is inevitably coming. You will, in the hadith, the meaning is that you will not die until you eat what has been predestined for you. So earn your money in the right way. This is basic as far as earning our wealth, that when we will not die until we eat of what has been predestined for us, then why must we resort to haram, wheeling and dealing, lying, etc., when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will give us the sustenance and He'll give us the provision, and we will complete our provision and before we die. So there is no need to go and look for haram means of earning. Now, when we give zakat and sadaqah, then a person is saved from misfortunes and disasters which were supposed to have befallen upon him. Many ahadith state this, that giving of charity, giving of zakat, it diverts and it removes at times the disasters, and mankind's life and wealth are safeguarded. That is why the ulama ikram keep saying that give out some charity, give out some sadaqah, give out some good activity, so that the punishment of Allah is removed. And punishments which are due to come, punishments which are hovering over the head, but by giving out zakat, by giving out sadaqah, these punishments go away. And by giving zakat, a person will find blessings in his money and wealth. And one who is miserly regarding his duty of discharging zakat and charity will find the doors of blessings being closed to him, for him. You walk around and see the persons who are giving their zakat are happy, and the persons who are not giving their zakat, they are worried constantly. It is stated in a hadith that the nation which stops giving zakat, Allah Ta'ala will inflict them with drought and famine, and rain will be withheld from them. Hadith is in Tabrani and Hakim that, see, if I'm not giving zakat, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He brings upon that nation drought and famine, and rain is withheld. In any country where you find drought and famine and no rain, we should encourage those brothers in the area there, give out the zakat, make charity, please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then automatically Allah's mercy comes, Allah's blessings come, and the rain comes, and drought and famine is removed. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has divinely told us that we should be giving our zakat. It is He who had made, who has portioned out between them their livelihood in the world. And we raise some of them above others in ranks, so that they may employ others in work. Now for the effective and perfect running of this world, this low and high ranking amongst the creation is of utmost importance. However, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has not left this high and low rankings be. He has given the following advices and following orders. In Surah Ma'arij, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, and those in whose wealth there is a known right, for the beggar who asks, and for the unlucky who has lost his property and wealth. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us a method whereby the poor and the needy can be aided. The portion due to the poor, the needy has been stipulated, and the one who withholds this is like a thief who has taken possession of what rightly belongs to them. Allah's deen, Islam, is very simple, easy, practical. No one can hide from this that there are those who got and those who do not have. There are those haves and those have nots. Not everybody is poor in a locality. Simultaneously, not everybody is wealthy in a locality. And not everyone is fortunate that they can make good amount of money. There are those who are wealthy and those who are poor. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us a system whereby the wealthy must help the poor, because it is the divine plan of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that everybody cannot be poor or rich. So the rich should help the poor, because it is their right. This has been implicated in the hadith whereupon that zakat becomes wajib at the moment 1/40th of portion of the goods is written as being part of the share of the poor. Allah has given share of the poor in the wealth of the rich. And now if the person does not give his zakat, it is not a matter of not taking out the money. Actually, it is he has not mixed the share of the poor in his wealth. The poor have automatically become shareholders in the wealth of the rich. As the wealthy, many of them in the lighter tone will tell you that the taxman is the shareholder, the taxman is a sleeping partner, that the taxman automatically you have to give. Just like a person automatically gives VAT, just like the person automatically gives duties on goods, just like automatically he has to give out certain penalties and certain taxes, similarly, the person must design his mind in such a manner that when he's earning wealth, and who is that who is giving him the ability to earn that wealth? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him the ability to earn that wealth. So when Allah has given him the ability to earn that wealth and has given him the capacity to make so much money, then Allah is giving another rule that, see, I have given you the talent, I have given you the ability, I have given you all the avenues to make that money. So I am saying, Allah is saying to us that the shareholder, the silent partner, the sleeping partner, the unnoticed partner is the poor, the needy, the wayfarer, the widow, the one in debt, the one who needs your assistance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the wealth which has been mixed with zakat is to be destroyed. That means that if we do not give our zakat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, destroy all the wealth. Why? Because that wealth is no more pure. In another hadith, zakat has been described as the dirt, as the filth, as the scum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, surely this zakat, not discharge, is the filth and dirt and scum of the people. So the person in his wealth, he is holding the dirt. When he takes it out, then the remaining of the wealth becomes absolutely clean, wholesome, halal to the last degree. Hence, to clean his scum, to clean the dirt, to clean out the scum, he has to follow Allah's decree, take sadaqah from their wealth in order to purify them and sanctify them with it. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this instruction, and in Abu Dawud, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala has ordained zakat for this reason, that your remaining wealth be cleansed and purified. By giving out zakat, most of the time, unfortunately, this has become a ritual. That is why we are elaborating and we are elucidating and expounding the benefits of giving zakat and why we are giving zakat, the importance of it. So the one who is giving it knows how important a responsibility the person is doing. Many times we do actions, we don't know why we are doing actions. We make salat, we do not know what's happening, why we're doing it. We fast, we know the rules of it. In any action, there is one level the action is being done. For example, we give zakat, we know few laws around it. We make salah, we know few laws around it. We go for hajj, we know few laws around it. But the second level, we are lacking education in. We are making salah. Why are we making salah? And what are the benefits of making salah? What are the benefits in this world, in the grave, in the akhirat, for going for hajj? That we do not know. What are the reasons and the rationale for doing the acts of hajj? We do not know. Why we are giving the zakah? We do not know. What is the benefit? We do not know. So unfortunately, we are doing it, Allah reward us tremendously. But it has become a ritual. That is why when we talk, we say these are rituals. And that is why, unfortunately, you get people who start leaving it out. They say, no, these are just rituals. These are just practices. These are just movements. I don't have to do all these things. And I do not have to make salat. I don't have to go for hajj. I don't have to give zakat. These are all customary activities. These are just mere practices. These are only things that you have to do. Why these statements, these sorts of blasphemous statements come out? Because people do not want to learn the real reason why these ibadats have been put into place. Like, when we give out the zakat, then it purges the remaining wealth. When we give out the zakat, then the remaining wealth becomes absolutely purified. So zakat is the purifier. See, when one boils the juice of sugar cane to make sugar, one will find that after a while, some dirt surfaces in the form of foam, which has been necessarily removed. If it is not removed, then the entire product will be spoiled and unusable. There are those who know this, that when you boil sugar cane to make sugar, you'll find that there is a foam that comes on the top. Now you cannot leave that foam. If you leave the foam, your whole procedure will be futile. If you leave that foam, you're not going to get the sugar. And if you take out that foam, and you remove that foam, then inshallah you will be left with sugar. So that means your boiling procedure will be fruitful. If you do not take out that foam, you are going to ruin the sugar. In the same way, if wealth to the value of nisab passes a year in one's possession, then the zakatable portion will surface. You'll have to take it out, and when you take it out, the remaining portion will be just like the sugar. When you take out that foam, then the remaining portion, the sugar, inshallah, will be pure to use. Then if this portion is again mixed with one wealth, the entire lot will be spoiled. For example, if that person, he boiled the sugar cane, the foam came out, then he decided, no, I'll mix the foam and back into the residues, he'll spoil everything. He'll have no foam, proper foam, he'll have no proper sugar cane, nor he'll have sugar. Everything will be spoiled. Similarly, if the person does not give out the zakat, and that wealth which was the right and due for the poor and the needy, he mixes it back into his wealth, he's going to spoil all his wealth. Just as this spoiled sugar will not sell in a good market, so too is similarly the wealth which has zakat mixed in it. It will not augur well for the user thereafter. Now one will find that it is wasted and squandered in unnecessary avenues, and it will be devoid of all barakah. Look around us. You will find, unfortunately, lot of wealth being spent lavishly, extravagantly, in un-Islamic activities and haram activities and activities which the Shariat is not sanctioning at all, and in places which you cannot even believe that Muslims are pushing their money there, spending their money there. So we have to look carefully that is zakat being given on that wealth. And unfortunately, sometimes you will find that those people who are involved in squandering of money in haram areas and sources and avenues and places, they are not giving their zakat. Because they are not giving their zakat, wealth is being mixed. Pure wealth is being mixed with zakat, which is supposed to be given out. As a result, unfortunately, all that wealth is contaminated. And when you have got contaminated wealth, it will go in the haram places, it will go in the haram avenues. Even if from the Sharia only a perfect system for zakat is established and practiced upon, at least half of the problems and difficulties facing the ummah will be removed. If the wealthy have to give part of their wealth to the poor quietly, then the hearts of the poor will be greatly relieved, and the many problems they have will be substantially decreased. If the wealthy witness for themselves the plight of the poor, then this will inshallah imbibe in them the qualities of making sugar to Allah Ta'ala for the blessings that they have been blessed with. So one is giving the wealth, and the other is to give it and to know exactly where you are giving it. When you know this, then inshallah, you will praise Allah, you will make shukr to Allah, and you will be constantly be reminded that the wealth I got was because of Allah's mercy upon me. And when you know this, that the wealth I got is because of Allah's mercy, then pride will go away. A person will begin to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we have to look at another aspect, that if you don't give zakat, what happens? Thus far, alhamdulillah, we have been discussing, and we will still come back to it, to discuss the benefits of zakat, of giving zakat. But now we'll have to also discuss that when you don't give zakat, then what happens? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions regarding persons that he passed by during Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mi'raj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved to Mi'raj. After Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from Taif, then because one of the reasons ulama ikram write that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to Mi'raj, at Taif we know what happened, how he was treated and what they did against him, how they ill treated him to such an extent that threw stones at him until blood flowed, and they did not listen to him carefully, they did not adhere to the call to such an extent that Allah Jalla Majdahu sends the malaikas who requested Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to crush them, but he, merciful to mankind, did not want that to happen. So when he came, obviously, he is now depressed, and he, because needed Allah Jalla Majdahu to console him, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala took him for Mi'raj. When he went for Mi'raj, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he speaks about certain people. Their private parts were covered in the front and back with pieces of cloth, and they were tearing it like animals. They were eating the stones of Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, who are these people? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said that they were the ones who did not give zakat that was due upon them. He also said that Allah Ta'ala has not oppressed them, and He does not oppress His servants. The punishment in the Akhirah that Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the non-givers of zakat is a separate one. This punishment will commence from the plains of Hashar, the day of Qiyamah. Just like how a harsh criminal is subjected to some difficult conditions in custody, and then he is brought before the court in a disgraceful manner, so too will be the condition on the day of Qiyamah of those who did not give their zakat. It is stated in a hadith that Islam is based upon five pillars, testifying that there is no deity of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's servant and messenger. The establishment of salah, discharging of zakat, performing of the Hajj, and the fast of Ramadan. It is reported in an hadith that the person who discharges his zakat has removed calamities from himself which were destined for him. It is stated in another hadith that the discharging zakat, by discharging zakat, it keeps one wealth safe. Seek a cure for illnesses in sadaqah, and counteracts misfortunes and troubles with du'as and humility. So Allah's Nabi is giving us a formula that when we give out the zakat, then inshallah, then our wealth is safe. This is the automatic insurance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given, that give out this zakat, our wealth will be safe. Then seek cure from ailments and illnesses by giving out sadaqah. So when the person is sick and ill, it is good to give out sadaqah, but you do not have to now do what generally people do. Generally what people do when a person is sick and lying down in the bed, then they take flour, oil, sugar, salt, and then they touch the person with it. And they go around the person 7 times, or they touch the person with the sugar and the salt from head to toe 7 times. They want the sugar or the salt or the oil or the flour to touch the ailing or sick person. Then they await the first beggar and give the beggar. All this you don't have to do. All this is not proven in Shariat. All this is customary. And in fact, we have got it from the other nations. And this is hereditary from other civilizations. This we do not have to do. Yes, the hadith in Abu Dawud is clear. Let's seek a cure for illnesses in sadaqah. Meaning, make sadaqah. A person is sick. A person is ailing. A person is in hospital. A person cannot get better. A person is going for operation. A person that after treatment upon treatment, no result is taking place. A person just falls sick, normal ailment. Then the Shariat is saying, give some sadaqah out. Give some charity out. Yeah, remember the word sadaqah is used, meaning you can give to anybody. You can make a good charity, meaning you can help poor, you can help wealthy, non-wealthy, you can give to causes of good, and you can enhance where deen is being propagated. So you can give that charity to anybody, young, old, wealthy, not wealthy, Muslim, non-Muslim, and you can give it for building or projects, anything, so that the ailment goes away. You have to make that intention. And you can counteract misfortunes and troubles with dua and humility. A lot of people these days, they say, we got a lot of trouble, a lot of misfortune. So if you go, for example, to our website, alislam.co.za, you'll find a kitab called Masnoon Duas. And you'll find a lot of duas there that when you are in depression, what to read. When you have anxiety, what to read. When you in difficulty, what to read. When you are in debt, what to read. And when you are not happy, what to read. All those duas are recorded there. One person can just look at it, learn it, or read it, having it in front of you, because Allah's Nabi is saying that counteract misfortunes, counteract troubles with what? With dua and humility. It is reported in another hadith that the wealth of a person who does not discharge his zakat will take the form of a snake on the day of Qiyamah, and it will wrap itself around the neck. So how horrible that will be, that the person, because he did not discharge the zakat, then this snake will come around his neck or her neck around on the day of Qiyamah. One's wealth will become a snake on the day of Qiyamah, and it will be the means of punishment for the culprit who refused to give his zakat. This is a reality, and yet we do not take heed of this. Sahabi narrates that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the nation that withholds zakat will be inflicted with drought and famine. If they withhold their zakat, they will be deprived of rain to such an extent, had it not been for the animals, even one drop of rain would not fall for them. This appears in Targhib. Now, yeah, the punishment is been outlined. That drought, number two, famine, number three, rain will be stopped. And also, that because of the animals, that some sort of rain will come. It is stated in Bukhari's clear hadith that because of the amal of man, because of the action of man, the sparrow dies because of freezing. And why the sparrow dies? Because of the actions of man. So our action, the actions of Muslims, affect the country, the nation, the locality, and even the animals. And the animals, because of them, that we are at times given the rain and we are saved, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that a person, the nation, the locality is not giving zakat, but because of the animals, Allah's pity and mercy upon the animals, we are given that amount of rain so that the animals sustain, and because they are sustaining and they are living, we also benefit. But remember that we should be giving so that we are safe from drought and famine and we get plenty of rain. In this way, everybody will benefit, Muslim, non-Muslim, and even the animals. Such a drought will befall those who do not give the zakat, then there will be no escape or solution. If Allah inflicts a punishment upon His creation, who is there that can avert it, save him? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can save us. See the nations previously who got punished by the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no one who could save them but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the people who in this age have been punished. There was no one who could help them. And look around us. In our own lifetimes, we have seen nations getting punished by floods and earthquakes by way of punishment and not by way of trial or tribulation. Yes, certain times difficulties come by way of trial and tribulation, but in our times we have seen nations getting punished and earthquakes have taken place. No one could save them. So we should do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He inflicts illnesses and He has shown the proper cure thereof. Hence, if we want to be saved from illnesses and sicknesses, the cure is very clear, that we should follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. That wealth which still has zakat binding upon it spoils the remaining wealth. That's, the hadith is stating clearly that if we have wealth inside the wealth that's supposed to be given out, we are looking for trouble. So the hadith is speaking of two objects. That wealth from which zakat is still outstanding will be spoiled and destroyed. And the second object is that if a wealthy person takes zakat and mixes it with his wealth, then his health will be spoiled thereby. So we should make every effort that we should be giving out our zakat, because zakat is the insurance for Muslims. It is our private fund. It is our private fund to support us against difficulties. It is a means of nurturing the helplessness, the lame, the sick, the orphans and the widows. Over and above this, zakat is that which protects the Muslims from being concerned only for themselves. See, there is one concept we have to worry about. Many people think that I am a good Muslim, so please leave me alone. I do not have to worry about anything else. I am making my salat, I give my zakat, and please don't trouble me with anything. If you look at our ibadat structures, everything, especially for the males, it is congregational, that we make salah with jama'ah, salah in the masjid. Then there comes Jummah Salah, even bigger congregation. Then the very big congregation of Eid. If we look, then the international cosmopolitan huge congregation of Hajj. There is no such thing that a person, and this ideology is being promoted, that I cannot do anything, I cannot do the work of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, until I get myself on the 100% platform of good. this will not happen. A person says, no, I'm worried about I, me, myself, I, my shadow, I, my family. That's all. So you cannot have this attitude. Because if you look, for example, all our activities, they are interactive in nature. And they are helping others. Zakat, helping others. Sadaqat al-Fitr, helping others. Kafara, helping others. Fidya, helping others. So if you look at it, our system is that we cannot be selfish in nature. And we cannot be in a cocoon or a cage. Many people live these lives that they go to the masjid, to the office and sit down quietly. No interaction with anybody as long as they are in their so-called comfort zone. Making tons of money, but they do not want to interact with anybody. Which is completely against the teaching of Islam that you have to be with the public and you have to interact with them, see their difficulties, address their difficulties. That is why, unfortunately, these days you get people and when you ask them, how is that person? They say, this person talks to no one. He's got a mansion of a house, a fancy car, but he is not interactive in any way. We, unfortunately, have reached such a level that our neighbor's neighborhood we do not know about. We don't even know who stays near us, let alone far away from us. So Zakat is that institute which allows a person that he is able to serve as a insurance to all around him, including, most important, himself. So Zakat protects the Muslims from being concerned only for themselves. The simple rule that applies here is that today we are wealthy and rich, so you assist the poor and needy. Tomorrow you will be poor and needy, others will assist you. You will have this worry, what will happen if in our family someone becomes poor? Who will take care of the wives and children? Who will take care if some calamity comes? Who will take care if I am on journey and some money is misplaced? So by the institute of Zakat, a person knows that when it was his turn as a wealthy person, when it was his turn as one giving out Zakat, he gave it out. And inshallah, if Allah will, something happens, then others will help him when he is down and out. I personally have seen that in this short span of life, that many of those who were wealthy when we are young, today they average
دنیا کو گلا دیں گے ہم
مصطفیٰ کے دیوانے ہیں ہم مصطفیٰ کے دیوانے ہیں ہم
حامد المصطفی محمود المصطفی قاسم المصطفی مصطفی مصطفی
مصطفی کے دیوانے ہیں ہم مصطفی کے دیوانے ہیں ہم ہو میاں یا مصطفی
ہی دھرم ہے
اپنا ان کی تعظیم و محبت ہی دھرم ہے اپنا عظمت شاہ جانوں کو لٹا دیں گے ہم
مصطفیٰ کے دیوانے ہیں ہم مصطفیٰ کے دیوانے ہیں ہم
فاتح المصطفی شاہد المصطفی حاشر المصطفی مصطفی مصطفی
مصطفی کے دیوانے ہیں ہم ہاں مصطفی کے دیوانے ہیں ہم ہو میاں یا
چھیڑو شمع سبا